My name is Jessie Ace. I'm part of a group of enabled warriors that you've probably never heard of. We're fighting back against our invisible illness and taking the dis out of disability. We don't give sympathy to our symptoms. They enable us to be the warrior that we are. If you ask doctors and nurses, they'd say what we're doing is impossible. But pushing the limits of our conditions is something that we have to break through every single day. We push the limits. We are mentally strong. We can do anything. The question is, how far can we push those limits? This podcast will give you the answers. I'm Jessie Ace, and this is the Disabled to Enabled podcast. Okay, let's get to the first part of our interview with today's guest. So this section focuses on the actual diagnosis, what their illness is, and how it affects our guest. Keep listening out for part two to find out how they coped and thrived afterward. And then in part three, listen out for today's guest's answers in the super quick secrets round. Or should we say not so super quick secrets round? Enabled Warriors, our next guest has 10 years of professional experience in healthcare, working in research, clinical care, corporate health, and startups. She also has 20 years of personal experience in healthcare as a chronic illness patient with fibromyalgia and hypermobility syndrome, both of which took over a decade to be diagnosed. Oh my goodness. She has dedicated her life to fostering better healthcare relationships for better healthcare outcomes and quality of life after finding that many concerns from both patients and practitioners intersected at the lack of trust and relationship. She's a huge advocate for managing her pain and, as she says, wacky symptoms with a natural approach, and is the host of the Human Care podcast through the Invisible Not Broken Illness podcast network. Most recently, she has co-founded Wellacopia.com, which is now the ultimate resource hub for the chronic illness community. Awesome. Enabled Warriors, please help me in welcoming to the show the amazing Eva Minkoff, everybody. Woo!
Woohoo!
Hello, lovely.
Hello.
There. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well today. Always good to hear that from myself.
Awesome. Okay, let's jump straight into the first part of your interview by chatting about your initial diagnosis. Like, how did you first know that something wasn't quite right?
Well, I've been complaining to my parents about pain in some way or another since I was 8. I actually grew in shoe size from, what was it, like a apologize, I'm speaking American shoe sizes here, but from like a 1 to a 4 or 5 within 6 weeks.
Wow.
And so that really just might have been growing pains, but all we know is pain never really stopped after that. But it really manifested in my joints, and I started seeing specialists for a diagnosis when I was 12.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and nobody could diagnose me. And in fact, I didn't get a diagnosis for 10 years. So it took a while.
That did take a while. That's a wow. I mean, why do you think it took that long?
Well, so I have fibromyalgia, hypermobility syndrome, and I guess we can say IBS. And all of those are incredibly vague illnesses. Mm-hmm. They manifest differently in everyone. They are invisible. And also, I was a teenage girl during those 10 years, right? And let's face it, a teenage girl, especially someone like me who was a dancer, you know, they just think we're being dramatic, right? Mm-hmm. All those hormones raging, you want to be the center of attention, or rather you just want to make a fuss about something. And so I was definitely noted as a hypochondriac, maybe only a couple times, but it only takes a couple times for that to stick with you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, since no top tier doctor in Manhattan could figure out what was wrong with me, everyone just assumed it wasn't real. So that was pretty hard.
That must have been really hard for you. I mean, especially growing up, being like going through all this as a teenager. Oh my God, you got enough on your plate without that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I also thought I was crazy sometimes, right? I actually had to sit myself down and ask, is this real? Am I just making this up? And also it wasn't, I guess, luckily debilitating most of the time, but I absolutely had the pain. I had the brain fog. I had just all sorts of odd symptoms, and because none of them were super extreme, it was, no one saw it as like a necessity to put a diagnosis on me or give me a medication.
Mm, which is awful.
Gosh. Not great.
Not great. So teach us a little bit about what your conditions are and what that kind of means for you.
So, like I said, these are a bit vague, but fibromyalgia, generally speaking, is a, let's say, a central nervous system issue where your nerves are firing without provocation, or not always with provocation. So, like, you could, I demonstrate this to friends a lot. It's like, my hand is throbbing as if I just smacked it against a wall or something, except that I didn't. It's just throbbing. Or my skin feels like I just got maybe a first degree burn or terrible sunburn, even though that is not the case. It's just my body decides it wants to fire pain signals even when nothing has actually happened. That being said, there are absolutely triggers for it. So stress is probably the biggest one, and stress comes in all shapes and sizes. And brain fog. Brain fog is, I think, one of the worst symptoms, because that really takes you away from who you are, pain or not. I can't fully be myself when I have terrible brain fog, or fibro fog, as we call it. And as for hypermobility syndrome and IBS, they all really kind of run into fibro. I see fibro as a hat or of these other illnesses, or a tag along. But hypermobility is really self-explanatory. I have hypermobile joints. They are too far apart from each other, and therefore they bang against each other because there's like more room or momentum to smack against each other. And because there's also more room than normal, they actually get stuck.
Oh.
So I say that I have Gumby and Tin Man syndrome at the same time. If anyone knows what Gumby is, he was like this green rubber cactus cartoon when I was a kid. And he would like stretch and be rubbery. And I honestly haven't seen that in 20 something years. But I remember being Gumby, or you could say a ragdoll, whatever. Like, the point is, you're very malleable, flexible, floppy. Mm-hmm. But then Tin Man, because your joints just get stuck in these awkward positions, and it's really painful to move them out of it.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot more sense, because I think sometimes people are, there's a, like you say, it's kind of a vague sort of thing. And I think sometimes people kind of get a, maybe an idea about it that's actually not quite true.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I used to think hypermobile was kind of when you could like bend your joints the wrong way or something. And then I don't know. I just kind of thought that was it, you know?
Oh yeah. I totally understand why people would think hypermobility syndrome isn't a big deal. It's like, oh, so you're a bit more flexible than the average person.
But on the surface, it doesn't sound too bad, but actually I bet that's really hard to live with.
It's actually what I am by far the most worried about right now, especially lately. It's something I've been very candid with myself about, because I have some fears about the future, but also it's by far the most painful thing that I'm experiencing right now. Like, I've had terrible insomnia because it just hurts to lay in any position in bed for a long time these days. I woke up this morning with terrible neck pain, and that's really sucked lately. I've been doing some more PT. But yeah, my joints are just kind of like stretched out of place for hours on end, and they're inflamed, and it's not good. Definitely very painful. And now that I'm getting older, I'm 30. I turned 30 recently, and it's amazing how I turned 30 and like everything just got worse.
Oh gosh, don't tell me that. I'm going to be 30 in like 4 months' time.
Oh God, no, sorry. Take it back. yeah. And then there's the whole, I'm hoping to have children in a year or two.
Yeah.
And your joints get loose when you are pregnant anyway. So I might need a walker or something when I'm pregnant. I'm not sure. And then there's also the possibility of me having EDS, so Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which I know you've spoken about before. So we will see. I have a specialist appointment in a month, who is like a renowned specialist in America for it. So I will find out.
It'll be fine. And the thing is as well, it's like, we can't control what happens to us. We can only control how we respond to that, you know?
That's like my mission statement right there. So true.
It is so true. It is. So don't live in fear. Just live in the present. Today is okay. Today is good.
Thank you.
We're all good. We're on a pep talk today.
I'm all about the pep talks.
Yes. We need more pep talks in the world. Totally. So something interesting as well is you have PTSD.
Yeah. I wonder how I mentioned this to you, but I guess I want to clarify some things about that. I have never been diagnosed with PTSD.
Okay. And
so I don't want to claim that that is on my list. However, I know, you know, I studied neuropsychology and I know a lot about PTSD, and whether you want to call it PTSD or not, I've had traumatic experiences that led to pain. And I know that there are experiences that have stayed with me, and experiences that unfortunately I relive from time to time, and it can trigger pain. I can go back to those moments. It's like, without trying, you know, I for 2 years had nightmares about it, for instance. So it's not great. I keep saying that. It's not great.
You can't phrase
it. Where's Peppy Eva? Come on. But anyway, the thing that I was thinking about sharing today is that normally when I talk about PTSD or trauma in general in relation to my illness, I always talk about ballet. Because I was a professionally trained ballet dancer for 15 years, and undoubtedly it is at least partially responsible for fibromyalgia and hypermobility syndrome, because of all the physical, mental, and emotional stress I endured for 15 years. Naturally, I didn't even realize it was bad because I also loved it. That's the terrible thing about being a dancer. You love and hate it. But I feel like I want to mention another trauma that I had that I never talk about because I'm always scared of being judged for it.
Okay.
But I think that's also why it's good to talk about, because I'm sure I'm not the only person.
Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I'm definitely not the only person. So most people associate trauma with some really horrific things. Like ballet alone, people are probably thinking, come on. Ballet, that's what traumatized you.
Ballet is hard, man. I used to do ballet. Like, oh my God.
Oh man, you really don't. Yeah, people don't know until they do it on that level. It's insane. No. You're doing it like sometimes 5 hours a day, 6 days a week, and all they do is make you feel terrible and make your body do things that it's not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Again, I love it. But anyway, ballet aside, thankfully I haven't, you know, lost a parent, been in a traumatic accident. I haven't been raped. I haven't, you know, experienced a lot of the things that most people attribute to trauma. But I did go through a really tough period of heartbreak. And it's something that almost all of us feel in some way or another. Heartbreak, it could be short-term, long-term, intense, not intense. But mine, for whatever reason, maybe it's just because I'm a physically and emotionally sensitive person, it stayed with me and it stayed in my body for a minimum of 2.5 years. And during that time, after that time, everything got a lot worse. And to this day, when I have dreams or flashbacks or whatever to that time, it's so visceral. And it, without a doubt, by definition, from what I can tell, has traumatized me.
Wow.
So there's that.
That's really interesting. So was this a kind of former sort of partner that you had, or was this heartbreak in terms of like, did you stop speaking to your parents or anything like that? I mean, like, what kind of experience did you go through?
Well, that's a very good distinction. It was a romantic heartbreak. It was a long-term relationship, ended on a very sour note, which I take a lot of blame for. And therefore there was that perpetual cycle of me trying to live a better life, because I am a very positive, glass half full kind of girl. But underneath all of it, I was really hating myself and hating everything and just deeply depressed, despite not technically having clinical depression. I was very depressed.
I imagine that affected quite a lot of your symptoms and things as well, and maybe even exasperated your condition any.
Yeah, it definitely made my symptoms a lot worse, and I think just supercharged the timeline of what was going on as well. Ultimately, like, I believe everything happens for a reason or whatever, it works out. And in some ways, I'm very glad that I went through all of that because it's led to where I am today. But that doesn't mean it wasn't traumatizing.
No, of course not.
Yeah. So yeah, there it is. I have now said it out loud. Woohoo.
Said it out loud. That's great, because that now you can move on and you can kind of accept that more, and you can, you know. So I think as soon as you say something out loud, it becomes, it's kind of taken away from you a little bit more. You know, you're not internalizing everything.
Exactly. And I'm a true firm believer in that. I always think getting things out of your head is the best way to deal with anything. And that could mean getting, like, saying it out loud to yourself or to someone else or on paper through song or dance, whatever it is, get it out. And that's actually one of my greatest stress reduction techniques.
Interesting. Interesting you bring that up as well, because we're going to talk about that in the next part, which I'm very excited about. So Enabled Warriors, we will carry on today's conversation with today's guest after we come back from unveiling something awesome. Enabled Warriors, do you want to win a copy of the Enabled Warrior Symptom Tracker book for free? The Symptom Tracker book will allow you to track your symptoms, instantly spot triggers, and get the best care possible from your doctors. Dr. Gretchen Hawley from the MSing Link said it was brilliant for those with chronic illnesses to give their doctors more accurate information. Recording these nuggets of information can be a game changer in receiving the best care for you and your symptoms. Inside the book, you'll find everything that you need to live your best life with chronic illness. Have you ever sat in an appointment and couldn't recall when your symptoms started, how long they lasted, the date of your first relapse, how long you've been on medication? Oh, me too. It's so annoying. That's why I made these pages in the book to help with this. Do you want to find out what foods are triggering your symptoms? Great. That's in the book too. Do you wish that you could wake up feeling positive and energetic every single day? The daily sheets in this book will help you do just that. Enter the giveaway by going to www.mybookgiveaway.com and enter your details through the message on Facebook Messenger that will pop up. If you are impatient and you want one now, then go get your Enabled Warrior Tracker book from www.enabledwarriors.org/book. Both of the links are in the show notes, so go and click them there. And get in control of your chronic illness today and start living the life you deserve. Stay Enabled Warriors. Now let's get back to our guest. So why did you decide to take an all-natural approach with managing your, air quote, wacky symptoms? I love that you call them wacky symptoms.
They're wacky sometimes. They definitely are. I like to make fun of them. Like, I'll personify my pain, especially things like that are related to my hand, because my hand's easy to look at. And I'll say, hey, what you doing? I didn't say you could do that.
Love that. That's such a good way to kind of cope with everything.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. It definitely takes the blame off of myself, right? It's like, this hand is being mischievous, misbehaving. It needs to stop.
Yes.
So I decided to take an all-natural approach because I could. I personally think that your first line of action should always be to take care of something naturally. I'm definitely not anti-medication or anti-Western medicine. Mm-hmm. I'm very pro-integrative medicine, which means, you know, both holistic as well as Western, but one is better used than the other at certain times. So anyway, with fibro, I'm really sensitive. I think fibro is the princess and the pea syndrome. I don't know if you're aware of that nursery rhyme. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ironically, like, just side note, my mom used to call me the princess and the pea. And then later, like years later, when I was diagnosed with fibro, we looked it up, and apparently that's an actual like slang term for people with fibro. So that was funny. But anyway, because I'm so sensitive, I really wanted to try and get more in tune with my body and step away from drugs if possible. I tried one drug one time, and I apologize, I don't remember the name in case anyone wants to know, and it doesn't matter because I'm my own person. But within a week or two, it made my different parts of my body go numb at random times. And I remember sitting in class in college and my tongue went numb. And I out loud said, "That's it. I'm done with this."
Imagine that in the middle of class.
Yeah, I was really frustrated. And so I never took medication after. So with fibromyalgia, I think there are only two prescribed medications, and I believe they're both SSRIs, which are for depression. And I'm very thankful that I do not have clinical depression. And I wanted to stay away from those medications if possible. All of that aside, I also studied neuropsychology and nutrition science. And I became a personal trainer at one point. So I'm very in the know about the body and the brain. I'm definitely more educated than the average person. Not to say that the average person can't learn about this stuff without getting a degree. They absolutely can. Air quotes, eating right and, exercising and all of those things. There's a reason why people preach taking care of yourself in a holistic way. Mm-hmm. It works. I'm not saying it will necessarily work for everyone alone, but no matter what, I will actually go as far to say, I promise you it's important and will have an impact. You may not know to what extent, but it does.
1,000,000%. Yes, definitely. I'm a huge believer in that. And I mean, you guys know me by now, like listening to the podcast and stuff. Like, I'm a huge believer in mindset, and whatever you read, I'm always like, yep. Mindset, exercise, healthy, and there we go. That's you, kind of three core important things, isn't it?
Yeah. So
Eva, in one sentence, is there anything that you wish someone had told you when you were newly diagnosed before we move on to part two?
Ooh, so good. Your illness is not your identity, but it is a part of your life whether you like it or not. So when thinking about your illness in regard to your body, make it your friend, a friend that you care for and you learn from rather than your enemy that you aim to run away from. Because guess what? You can't run away from your body.
You're stuck in there.
Yep, it's there. So might as well get to know it, love it, and care for it.
Exactly. It's the only thing we can do. Neighbor Warriors, that's it for part one. In the next part, we will discuss the amazing things that our guest today has done since the diagnosis. Warriors, look out for part two. And if there is anything that we've spoken about so far that you can relate to, then please tell us in the comments, and remember to follow or subscribe wherever you're listening today. Warriors listening, if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to win $100, leave a review on Apple Podcasts and tell us what you liked best. We'll choose one review at random each month to win $100. And after you've left your review, remember, go and click that subscribe button. Are you ready to fight back against your chronic illness and go from being disabled to enabled? Do you want to be an enabled warrior? Someone who's brave, strong, and confident, and someone who's ready to find a way to achieve awesome things despite a diagnosis? This is your invitation. Check out disabled2enabled.com for articles and reviews to find out how you can become enabled too. Subscribe to the podcast to always be in the know. If you think this podcast is better than sleeping in on a Sunday, tickle that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. And make sure to share this episode with someone who needs some inspiration. Want to ask your questions to future guests? Make sure to join our Enabled Warriors tribe on Facebook and look out for our question posts. Before we go, check out Disabled to Enabled on Instagram for posts that tell it like it is. And remember, warriors, stay enabled.